This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. The Republican Party of Texas announces its legislative priorities, plus Texas Scorecard is exposing the public education machine. I'm Brandon Waltons, and this is The Headline. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on this episode of The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. In just a bit, we're going to sit down with Jacob Asius and talk about this second season that we've released this week of our podcast, Exposed, exposing Texas's public education machine. But first, earlier this week, the Republican Party of Texas announced its eight legislative priorities as decided by delegates to the Republican Party of Texas Convention. These are the priorities that the party is going to be carrying into the upcoming legislative session, which starts in January of 2023. To go through these priorities and discuss them a little bit further, we've got our publisher Michael Quinn Sullivan joining me today in the big blue chair, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think we got to maybe trademark that.
The big blue chair.
So we announced these on Wednesday. Texas Scorecard had them up on our website. We ran down them. But what we didn't get to do, and what I was looking forward to doing with you, is giving a little bit more context into some of these. And so there's literally eight of these. And they were originally 15, so now it's whittled down to eight by delegates. And before we get into them specifically, you know, from a broad view, why are these legislative priorities important for people to care about?
Well, I mean, I would back up a little bit further and say, you know, originally there were hundreds of submissions from the various senatorial districts around the state. You know, that actually began with even more than that in precinct conventions around the state. And so that kind of winnowing process that went down to the Legislative Priorities Committee of the Republican Party picked the 15 that seemed to have the most support and that sort of thing. So I would say starting there, Republican lawmakers should take a look at those 15, because those 15 arose from the same people who elect them, right? Now, so even if one didn't make the top eight as selected by the delegates, there's still a pretty sufficient majority of voters who see these as important issues. The significance then of the eight legislative priorities are they now give marching orders to the Republican Party of Texas, a private association made up of tens of thousands of people around the state, to tell the party chair and the vice chair and the members of the executive committee that runs the party that these are the things they must be advocating for. These are the things that legislators must be encouraged to accomplish. If they want to be thought of as Republicans, they need to do at a minimum these things. And that minimum is important because we're talking about eight. You know, you go into a legislative session, they pass 5,000 pieces of legislation. Yeah. And sure, you can't do these eight things.
Yeah, you can't do eight. You should probably be able to do the 15.
You should probably be able to do more than that. Particularly when you're talking about a state like Texas, which has every statewide office held by a Republican. You have commanding majorities in the Texas House and the Texas Senate. Maybe even, depending on how things go, encroaching back once again on supermajority status. So these eight are significant in the sense that they are giving marching orders to the party and therefore to the elected officials who run under the party's name.
So the first, these aren't in any order. These are in the ballot order that delegates voted on them, is protecting our elections. And a lot's been talked about election integrity. This was a priority of the party last session. A lot's been talked about the specifics of what that would look like. But I do want to focus on one part of it that I think a lot of people are overlooking, which is that this protect our elections priority also includes closed primaries. This is the idea that Democrats should be voting in Democrat primaries, Republican voters should be voting in Republican primaries. And call me naive, Michael, but for the life of me, I can't understand. I don't understand what What is the reasonable opposition? How does somebody, a Republican in the Texas House, how do they say they're against that?
Well, the way they say it, and I've heard them say this, is they say that, I want folks, I want to make sure that we can bring in as many Republicans as possible to the process. And as many people as possible into the Republican process. And I don't maybe on and kind of a theoretical level disagree with them there. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the problem you find in reality is that very often you'll see a situation where a left-wing Democrat is sitting there realizing maybe it finally occurs to them they live in Texas and that their primaries are a joke and that their candidates are jokes. And so they think, well, because nothing is interesting on my ballot, I'll just pop over to the Republican primary and I'll vote there. Mm-hmm. And I'll vote for the most liberal Republicans that I can find. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in practice. You have very few people who on the first Tuesday in March wake up having been lifelong Democrats and say, by golly, I'm going to go vote in the Republican primary today. I'm a Republican, for goodness sakes. No, what you have instead are folks like Ryan Guillen, long-serving Democrat in the Texas House, who over the course of several sessions saw himself more and more out of step with this party, particularly on social issues. Mm-hmm. And you saw him make this progression so that in the past several months, mm-hmm. he switched parties.
Yeah.
Ahead of the Republican primary. I think voters do the same thing. They start paying attention. The problem you run into with the current primary system is it allows someone to just on the random Tuesday they decide to go vote without studying the candidate, knowing the candidates. The closed primary system, what it essentially says, the way it's implemented in most states, is that anyone who wants to declare themselves in any particular election to be a Republican, a Democrat, or whatever, mm-hmm. they just have to do so before the closing of the voter registration mm-hmm. period. And they say, I'm going to vote in the Republican primary. At a minimum, that means that they get to suffer through all of the deluge of campaign mailings the rest of us do, so that they now they have the opportunity to make an informed choice.
Mm-hmm. Going through, I want to hit some of these highlights. Some of them will move a little faster through. But banning Democrat chairs, this is a new priority, and this is one during a lot of the conversations we had at the Republican Party of Texas convention in Houston last week. This is something that was echoed by a lot of the folks we talked to, that they were sick and tired of seeing Democrats being placed in leadership positions in the Texas legislature. But at the same time, you have the Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, who's out there defending the practice still.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Many of the priorities that the Republican Party adopts, we'll talk about it in a second, secure the borders. Mm-hmm. Well, if the legislature goes to Best Buy and purchases a $75 Wi-Fi webcam that they mount on a pole somewhere along the border, they can say, "Well, see, we secured the border. We did something." There are a lot of ways to get around to many of these priorities. Securing the elections, as we've seen, after months of debate last year, all sorts of things they can waste their time on that may or may not have an impact, but they can claim meets this. This Democratic chair thing is important because it's a binary thing. Either there are, either in January, you're going to have Democrat chairs of committees, or you're not. Mm-hmm. And Republican lawmakers, it was very fascinating at the convention. Brian Slayton, state representative from East Texas, who was going around kind of leading the charge as he had in the legislature last year on ending Democrat chairs in the Texas House. Everywhere he went, he was getting standing ovations, speaking to these groups. And I got to see this firsthand in a couple of the senatorial districts and certainly in the main body where you had his colleagues, his Republican colleagues, sitting in there and just the scowls and the frustration. And that should be noted that each one of these folks are people who themselves hope to, get Democrat support for when they run for Speaker or do something else. They want to be loved by the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's more important for most of the Republicans in the Texas House. It's more important to them to be loved by Democrats in other parts of the state than it is for them to do the wishes of their own voters in their own hometowns.
Mm-hmm. Moving along, we've got abolishing abortion in Texas, something that was a priority last session, something that there's been some progress on. Of course, we've got the Supreme Court decision that we're all awaiting on. But these next two priorities, I think, are pretty entwined. Banning gender modification of children, a priority of last session that got killed in the Texas House, but then also stop sexualizing Texas kids. This is in response to the pornography that we've seen in school districts, school libraries across the state. And I think it's very interesting that you have, you know, these two separate priorities, but they're both really attacking the same root issue here.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be clear, it also extends beyond just the school porn issue to, you know, drag queen mm-hmm. story hours, where, you know, if someone decided to take his four-year-old son to a strip club featuring, you know, scantily clad women doing whatever they do in strip clubs.
Mm-hmm. Strip, I guess we can all imagine
to come to the name. You know, I mean, Child Protective Services would be called out immediately. Mm-hmm. And yet we have watched in horror over these past couple of weeks where videos emerge of these, you know, take your kid, you know, drag your kid to a drag show mm-hmm. things. And or the kids are, you know, being encouraged to put $1 bills into mm-hmm. the, you know, underwear of men who are pretending to be women. I mean, the whole thing is just mind-numbing. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to applaud that. And so I think that this is, you know, clearly the Republican Party is telling the legislature, you better fix this. To his credit, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, in his speech to the Republican convention, made it very clear that he and his chamber had mm-hmm. been working on this, mm-hmm. and he had some sort of very funny throwaway line like, well, I'm not going to point fingers, but we did our job, and we know exactly where his fingers were pointing. He was pointing fingers at the Texas House and at Dade Phelan, mm-hmm. where they just decided that it was okay to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Next legislative priority looking through here, securing the border and protecting Texans. I think the important part here, and we won't get into all the details, we've got this article up at texasscorecard.com where you can see all the additional language. But I think it's really important this time, they really got pretty specific in the language of what they're calling for. So to your point from earlier, right, secure the border, what does that mean? They lay out, though, in these, which say, we need to declare an invasion, right? Texas should be the one sending people back. This is something that the governor or the legislature could do. We've seen hesitancy so far from both, even though, as we pointed out, you know, Attorney General Ken Paxton in an interview here at Texas Scorecard a couple months ago said that he'd be willing to go to court. He just needs the governor or the legislature to do this.
Yeah, you know, and again, this is where you find almost that kind of binary, you know, decision making, mm-hmm. The binary process of either the governor and the legislature are going to say there's an invasion occurring and we're going to use the resource of the state to repel that invasion, or they're not going to. And I think that, you know, and kudos to the party delegates who push for these, you know, again, we're talking about Democrat chairs, you're talking about these kinds mm-hmm. of specifics, where lawmakers are going to have to decide who they serve. They're mm-hmm. going to have to figure out where their loyalties lie. Their loyalties with the Biden administration, the Republican lawmakers' loyalties with the Biden administration and making happy the Democrats in their own chambers, or is it with citizens who are tired of seeing our state sovereignty violated?
Mm-hmm. We've got two more legislative priorities we're looking at. One of them being defend our gun rights, which is sort of a defensive one. Really a statement against red flag laws and some of the things we're seeing out of Washington, D.C. You know, I would argue, and I think a lot of people would, that this probably wouldn't be a priority if it were not for John Cornyn, our Senator John Cornyn, and his bipartisan gun control plan that earned him boos at the convention.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if we had not seen, you know, literally the week around the Republican convention, the two-term convention, this massive push from Democrats and from you know, John Cornyn and a few other sellout Republicans to go after folks' Second Amendment rights. I'm not entirely sure that this would have been in there, because I think that, yeah, we've all seen it. Every single Republican who runs brags about their mm-hmm. NRA A+ rating and their, you know, every picture has them with a shotgun under their arm like they've just, you know, gone and bagged dinner for their family or something. You know, in a, this of all of the priorities felt a lot more like, you know, they wanted to send a message. They, I think delegates thought that maybe folks didn't quite hear us, what we were saying to John Cornyn, you know, yesterday. So today we're going to find in this list something on the Second Amendment. And I get the feeling that that's what they were tempted
to do. I think it's a pretty strong message.
And now look, again, I'm going to repeat this again. The question's going to be, does the Republican near supermajority in the House, as the commanding Republican majority in the Senate, did they listen to those boos? Do they pay attention to this to this priority? And or do they want to make nice with John Cornyn? Do they want to make nice with the Democrats? Do they want to be loved by the Democrat chairman who will oversee committees dealing with Second Amendment issues? That's going to be the big test.
Lastly here, parental rights and educational freedom. There was a school choice priority 2 years ago, didn't get much traction. This is a little bit broader, but it's talking about parental rights, parental choice and education. A lot of this in response to some of the things that parents have found out over the last couple years that are being taught in Texas schools.
Yeah, you know, you found a lot of parents stepping up, you know, who for the first time could listen in on their kids' classes with Zoom classes and things like that during the COVID scam. But then, you know, since then, you've had parents going to the libraries, looking at curriculum, essentially being told, you don't have any business being here. This is our job. You drop your kid off in the morning and you shut up. And when we tell you to pick your kid up, you can come collect them and put them to bed. You know, and that is a sadly prevailing attitude that many parents are getting out of the public schools. And I think that this priority of the Republican Party is suggesting that we need a reset. We need a reset where public schools are serving the parents in educating the kids, not dictating the lifestyles of students and families.
Absolutely. I think it's a very timely one. Thank you so much for joining, Michael.
Thanks, Brandon.
Do you know what's happening in Texas's public schools? On season two of Exposed, Texas Scorecard has exposed the Texas public education machine. We're going to have Jacob Asmussen, but first, check out this preview.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I'm probably not the first to tell you our state's public education system is broken.
An entire generation of students have been left behind because of the school board's policies.
School board member pleads guilty in a massive federal bribery case.
You've likely heard the lines about reform, more money, everything for the kids. No doubt the slogans of countless politicians' campaigns and decades of failed promises. Yet we've all seen what's happened. More money, more buildings, more programs, more bureaucracy, more debt, more everything. But the results for our kids aren't getting better. In fact, they're getting worse.
The Texas public education system is failing our children.
What's going on? What can events from the past warn us about our alarming situation in Texas today? What can parents do right now?
When dating men, you always loved feeling a cock soften inside you afterwards. This is what we're asking our children to read. It's a strap-on dildo.
Can we finally bring into reality the Texas Constitution's promise of a flourishing education environment for our children and teachers? Let's look behind the curtain, at the current system itself. Welcome to Exposed, Season 2.
Joining me now to talk about Season 2 of Exposed, you just saw him, that's right, Jacob Asmussen. Jacob, thank you so much for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
This is the second season of Exposed, and once again, it's on the charts for top political podcasts. People are paying attention, and this season's a little different than last season. Explain the difference.
Yeah, the first season, we exposed a scandal in a local school district, something that happens too often across the state.
Yeah, Round Rock.
Exactly. But the second season, we're exposing the entire statewide public education system. Mm-hmm. Okay, so certainly we're not the first to talk about this issue, right? Politicians, people have been talking about this for decades. Mm-hmm. And certainly we've seen countless failed promises and billions of dollars and new programs and new buildings and all of this, but we've all seen that it's not working. It's not fixing the mm-hmm. educational results for our kids. So what we wanted to do in this second season is give parents a look behind the curtain at the system itself. Mm-hmm. See how this machine actually operates. You know, what's really going on? Where does your money actually go into the system? Because a lot of times parents just see glimpses mm-hmm. of problems, right? They'll see, oh, maybe there's a bad superintendent over there, or a bad school district here, or bad school board member there. But we don't really see the full picture of how this system operates. And so that's what we wanted to do, show parents what's going on, the warnings from the system, and what they can do about it right now.
And, you know, we've talked before that, you know, over the last couple of years, Michael and I just spoke about this, over the last couple of years, parents have been more involved. They've been seeing what their kids are being taught. They've gotten a better glimpse into the machine. You focus on some of that, talking about, you know, the curriculum and pornographic materials, but you also talk about, on the first episode, literal corruption inside a school board and administration.
Yeah, and we take parents throughout Texas uh-huh. to see these different districts, to see the machine, and you're absolutely right. The way this system operates allows for all kinds of what we call cartel-like operations mm-hmm. in the system. You've got, you know, school boards and administrators working together with businesses to stockpile more cash. And there's all the way the system is set up, it allows for all kinds of corruption like that. And that's what we want to expose. That's what we want to show parents. Mm-hmm. And you're right, parents are paying more attention now than ever before mm-hmm. because they're starting to see all of these warnings kind of bubble up to the surface.
Mm-hmm. And we've got 5 episodes out. They're all released now. You can listen to them on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can check them out there. I don't want to give too much away, but when you're talking about that fifth and final episode, right, you're talking about kind of what people can do, what's next. I don't want you to give away the whole fifth episode, but you know, what are the what are parents supposed to be doing right now when they find out this information? Is there anything, or is it irreparable?
Yeah, one highlight from the series is we actually go back in time, look at some events from the past, mm-hmm. specifically the Soviet Union, Chernobyl disaster, the Berlin Wall. We see what happened there and see how citizens reacted there, and they could actually provide some lessons for us today mm-hmm. in Texas. And like you said, I won't give too much away, but we are seeing parents all across the state wake up and get involved in their local community schools, get involved with their child's education. They're mm-hmm. contacting their school board members. They're testifying at meetings. They're contacting legislators, all kinds of stuff to start to change this situation and finally bring mm-hmm. into reality a flourishing education environment for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I think, you know, all Texans should want, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jacob. And you can check out, like I said, Exposed. All the episodes are up of season 2 at texasscorecard.com, as well as your favorite podcasting platform. Check it out. You won't want to miss it. By the way, if you're watching this right now on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe, hit like, hit the bell so you can get notifications when we're live here at Texas Scorecard and broadcasting. I want to thank everybody for watching us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.